This is the Last Week in English podcast, summer semester 2019, week 3. Our guest today is in Freiburg for the first ever performance of his Freiburg saxophone concerto, which he'll hopefully tell us a little bit about later. He's a musician, jazz in particular, and composer whose influences are very diverse. He's won numerous awards, and one of his compositions was included on a Grammy award-winning album. He's written film scores and music for HBO and Netflix series. His compositions and arrangements have been played and recorded by some of the greats, including Stefan Grappelli. He's kindly agreed to talk to us today, so welcome, Daniel Freiburg.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Mark. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So tell us first a little bit about your background and how you became a musician.
Well, there was a piano in my house, and when I was about 4, I started to just play, you know, by ear. With it. My grandfather used to play also music non-professionally. My mother also plays piano non-professionally.
Yeah.
But I started to fool around with the piano, and at 8, my mother sent me and my sister to take piano lessons, which I took until about when I was 13 years old.
Yeah.
And then I kept playing on my own and practicing. And at 16, I started working professionally as a piano player, yeah, keyboard player, while in high school, finishing high school.
Yeah.
Then I enter the University of Buenos Aires. I'm from Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Yeah.
For the career of electronic engineering, I was very interested in audio recording and audio electronics.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, when I was 12, we went to visit a cousin of my mother, which was like an audio TV technician, and he had put together its own stereo equipment he had built from scratch.
Yeah.
And that blew me away, and
yeah,
I said, oh, I want to know how to do this. So there was a technical school around the block from my house,
yeah,
and I said to my mom, I was 12, but I said, I wanna go to that place. You're going to high school? Yeah, but I want to do it after high school.
Yeah.
So I took a course, 2-year course on radio and TV,
yeah,
repair, and in part, as part of the course, we would build our own amplifier from scratch with the chassis and all the hand wiring. There were no integrated circuits. It was all tubes.
Yeah.
So it was fascinating for me. So when I was 14, I got a diploma as a TV and radio repair person. And
okay.
I'm not an engineer, but I can read a circuit, you know, I understand basic, you know, I do some basic,
yeah,
repair and maintenance in my recording studio.
Okay,
so then, and then I finished high school and I entered the university, and about the middle of the first year of university, I went to my father and said, look, I'm already working also as a musician, I'm going,
yeah,
to university, and it's hard for me to do both things well.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard to do both things well. And my father said, what do you want to do? So I think I want to be a musician. And so he said, well, my advice is, why don't you finish this year?
Yeah.
You're in the middle, at least, in case you regret it, you can come back.
Yeah.
So I finished that year at university, and then I continued professionally and never stopped ever again working in music.
Okay, so it was a good decision then.
I'm very happy, you know.
Yeah.
I'm very happy. And I still, you know, have a lot of contact with electronics in the audio, because I have a recording studio in New York, professional recording studio. And I'm all day working with computers, and I can, you know, do basic maintenance of my equipment.
Yeah.
So it's a good balance.
Yeah. So after that then, when you were in your early 20s, you actually went from Argentina to New York.
Yeah, I traveled to New York in 1979 when I was just 21 years.
Yeah.
Without money. I went with $300.
Yeah.
Which is not a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got to New York and in the middle of a very bad winter storm, and
yeah.
There was like 4 or 5 feet of snow, so
yeah.
Immediately I had to spend $135 in a winter jacket.
Yeah.
So I ran out of money like in a few days. It was a little bit tough the first few months.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So. Okay. And you've been
so
there
I've been
ever
in
since.
New York 40 years exactly.
Right. Okay. And how is it then that you've come to Freiburg?
I'm here because there is a fantastic musician in the Philharmonic in Freiburg.
Yeah.
Her name is Anja Bachmann.
Yeah.
She's the lead clarinet player. She's also a wonderful saxophone player.
Yeah.
And here in Freiburg, they're celebrating her 25th anniversary with the orchestra.
Yeah.
So they decided to celebrate this with a special concert,
right?
In her honor.
Yeah.
And they decided to commission me to
yeah.
order for me a special saxophone concerto for her to perform the world
yeah.
premiere.
Yeah.
And which for me it's a great honor and very very happy, and so I wrote the piece. They really liked the piece a lot, and they decided to invite me to the premiere, which I'm very grateful
yeah.
to the university, the Berg Academy, all the people in the student and work, and all the there was a lot of support from Facet 10, so the architectural company.
Yeah.
And different sponsors, which really invest in culture in the city, which is very impressive.
Yeah.
So of course I said, of course I want to come here,
yeah.
and it's been a fantastic experience.
Right.
The musically fantastic, and socially too, because the people here in the orchestra are great. I made a lot of new friends, and the people in Freiburg, I find them very, very friendly. I like the city very much,
yeah.
And I'm having a great time. And since I was coming for the premiere of the saxophone concerto, I told Thomas Schmaltz, who's the boss at the Studentenwerk, I said, since I'm gonna be there and it's the week of the jazz festival, how about we play a jazz concert?
Yeah,
also?
Yeah.
So they booked me to bring my jazz quintet to the Altemensa
yeah.
Club, and we did a concert on Wednesday the 10th of
yeah.
April. We was also like full of people, and I was very lucky to have a quintet with some of the best musicians in Germany,
right.
Jazz music, amazing. It was very, very exciting, and the response of the audience was incredible. It was so, they were
yeah.
so so hot. They were cheering us, and,
yeah.
and we played that potentiated our performance a lot. So I'm very, very happy with
right.
everything.
Yeah, a friend of mine was there at the concert. I wasn't
oh, yeah?
there at the concert on Wednesday,
oh.
and he told me he spoke to you afterwards. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Niels,
oh, okay.
he's out there.
Okay.
And yeah, he said he had a great time at your
we
concert.
We were super
yeah.
excited. We were cheering yeah. like in a soccer game. It was fantastic. Yeah, I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and also the... I wasn't there on Wednesday, but I was there on Thursday at the Nikolaikirche, and there was also a great atmosphere there at that
yeah.
concert.
Yeah, yeah. I had this idea that the people were going to be a little more reserved, more quiet, and I'm very, very pleased and surprised. Even in the classical concert where you normally between movements of a concerto, the people don't applaud, they were exploding in applause.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
I said, wow,
yeah.
and I love that.
Yeah.
I'm not traditional in that way. you have to wait until the piece finishes. They want to applaud in the middle of the music, I don't mind. Yeah. I love
that's
it.
Not, I have to say, that's not usual at these concerts. We don't normally applaud in the middle of the piece.
Oh.
Yeah, so this was something special. Yeah.
Even more special. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I was just at the ceramic fair, and one lady that was at the concert came to talk to me also. Everybody is super friendly here. I love it. I want to come back.
Okay, well, no, I'm very happy that you've had some positive experiences
very,
here.
Very.
For the saxophone concerto, then, how did you decide where to go, what to do? I mean, what was what was your inspiration for it?
Well, Anya Bachmann, the soloist, she had heard another piece that I wrote for the clarinetist Andy Miles, who's the lead clarinet player at the VDR Orchestra in Cologne.
Yeah.
And she asked me to write something for her because she already liked this other piece and my style.
Yeah.
So that's one indication of that. And then what I did is I researched the soloist, in this case Anya Bachmann. She sent me all her previous recordings. She sent me videos of her playing, and I did a lot of talking with her and asked her a big list of questions. What kind of music do you normally listen just for fun? Do you like John Coltrane and Dexter Gordon or whatever? And I found that she had a very, very wide range of musical interests.
Right.
I like the Bee Gees, and I like tango, and I like Latin music, and jazz, and Miles Davis. So she has a rock. She's not only classical. You know, she actually plays klezmer music too. She has a klezmer band, which is fantastic. Yeah. So that also gives you parameters when you compose. You see that she can go in many directions.
Yeah.
She's very versatile. And then, when I write, I after I have all that information, I'm in my head, I'm imagining her playing when I'm writing. I'm thinking of her playing.
Yeah,
that's very common to do for composers when they're writing for somebody specifically.
Yeah.
And then when I sent the music to her, she loved it immediately.
Yeah.
And then towards the end, we exchanged ideas. I asked her, what else would you do? Would you want to add something? Yeah, I would add. She said, don't keep me without playing for too long here and there. So I added. It was a great collaboration, very nice. So that's pretty much the way it works. There is no always a formula.
Okay.
I'm very intuitive. The way I write, I don't do it in a very academic way.
Yeah. Okay. In this particular case, you knew who would be playing the piece.
Right. Which is a great advantage.
Yeah. And I also see that you write. Music for HBO, Netflix, is how different is the process there?
Oh, it's very different. When I write music for films, and when you write for film, your music is written as to the service of the picture. It's just one component of the total package of the product, let's say. With films, there are dialogues going on sometimes not.
Yeah.
There are certain things happening on the screen that you need to score to, you know, and have certain. Sometimes, in a way, it's a lot a tighter. A frame to where parameters are much more restrictive, which is not bad. Sometimes it's even easier when you have more restrictions.
Yeah,
Sometimes it's easier to compose.
Right.
When you write a concerto and they tell you, no, write whatever you want.
Yeah.
there's so many options.
Yeah.
Which in a way makes it even harder. So I spend a lot of time before. On the beginning of the process, I spend a lot of time deciding in what direction I'm going to go, because I have so many ideas,
yeah.
And I cannot implement all my ideas.
Right.
I have to say, well, I'm going in this direction or in that direction.
Yeah.
So I spend a lot of time there.
Yeah.
Once I make my decision, then I go boom and start writing,
okay.
writing.
Yeah.
But it's almost painful on the beginning because you have so many options and
yeah.
so many roads.
Yeah.
And you have to decide which one you're gonna take. So that's a little scary, because what if I take a road there and I spend 2 months or 5 months writing, and then they decide, oh, it's all right, but I'm not crazy about it or whatever, you know.
Okay, so has that happened to you then? That you've
not, maybe so go, far,
not so not far.
So far, I've been
yeah.
very lucky.
You've taken the right road.
Yes, so far, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. All these pieces that I've been writing for orchestra so far, I send them and they love them. They don't
okay.
ask me for any changes, they love them immediately. We'll see if we get keep getting lucky.
But as well as composing, I mean, you're a pianist.
Yes.
And I saw you at the concert there, or I saw you, I was right at the top in the Nikolai Kirche,
oh,
so
okay.
I couldn't see much at first, but when you were playing the piece at the end, I looked over and I saw you playing there. And how do you approach your playing then? Maybe when you're playing with a group or when you're playing solo?
What we did at the church, we played a piece after the concert,
right.
as an encore.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not something that prepared in advance. It,
okay.
It's kind of improvised on the moment.
Yeah.
What I play is pretty much improvised. I mean, there is a song that we're playing, which is
yeah.
The Nearness of You, is a,
right.
a jazz standard, or American standard,
yeah.
and then it's mostly improvisation, like a jazz.
Okay.
So we didn't really, there's
okay.
no big arrangement or on
yeah.
anything, yeah, but it came out nice, people
yeah.
liked it, and we did that as an encore.
Yeah.
With my band, I write some charts and music, and but 60-70% is improvisation, like in jazz, you know.
Yeah.
We have themes and certain conventions and certain
yeah.
places where we have to do some hits and stuff. But
yeah.
Most of it is the fun of improvising.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're playing, I heard an interview in which you said when you're playing solo, you like to have a good connection with your audience, and that really influences the way you're playing, and I was wondering if you could just tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, when you play solo, it's even more important, but there is definitely a connection that can be made with the audience.
Right.
You feel it. You feel it. You feel what. It's a kind of energy that you give with your music, and you get back with the people's vibration,
mm.
and it affects you the way you play.
Right.
It also, when you play with a group, also
yeah.
you feel that. It happened this week in Freiburg. It was
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
The club with the jazz band. We also, when you play with other people, like in my case with my quintet, we also feed each other,
yeah.
you know, and
yeah,
we potentiate
yeah, yeah.
each other, but on top of it, the club is full, and the people
yeah.
are screaming like, yeah, I mean, it's like, wow,
yeah.
it's like a rocket, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the same thing, if I'm playing solo, if I feel that the audience is connected to what
yeah.
I'm doing, and I get feedback, it's very inspiring. You play completely different.
Yeah.
You play completely different.
Yeah.
Especially when there is music that has a lot of improvisation on it. But even on classical music, when you every note is written, like if you play Mozart or Beethoven, whatever, it's very important. It's very important in the audience.
It sounds like the biggest impressions you've had here were musical impressions. Have you had any other impressions or experiences here in Freiburg, apart from your concerts?
Well, musical and social. We have made a lot of friends.
Yeah.
The people are so... they're very gentle and they're very warm. Very warm. There's even people that we met for the first time.
Yeah.
Very friendly. The vibe in the whole city is very friendly and relaxed in a way. I don't see a lot of stress.
Well, I guess it's much smaller than New York City here. I haven't been to New York myself, but I hear
it's
that
a
it's a little bit
smaller here.
It's a little bit smaller and a little bit stressful there sometimes, or people are walking very fast and
We're learning some things about the culture here, and we like. I'm here with my wife also,
right.
Which she's loving being here also.
Okay.
And we appreciate. It seems to us that people here are less materialistic.
Yeah.
Than in the West, and they're into arts and culture, and we like that a lot.
Yeah.
It's a very, very impressive quality that we find here, and it's something to learn.
Yeah. Is this your first time in this part of the world, then, in this, this part of Germany?
Well, of this part of Germany, yes. I've been in Germany many times, even from the 80s. In the 80s, I think it was in 1986, I was doing a 12 country tour with the Cuban saxophonist Paquito de Rivera, a very known jazz master, and we were mostly in the west side of Germany and other countries in Europe, but we went also to Ljubljana in Yugoslavia.
Okay.
So we were on the other side of the wall.
Yeah.
And it was very different, of course.
Yeah.
I had never been on what it used to be East Germany, if that's what you're referring
to.
That's
right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like it a lot. Yeah. I like it a lot. I'm learning. I'm trying to learn more.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Very interesting. And the people from Student and Work, Thomas Smoltz, I'm subjecting him to thousands of questions. And he's a sweetheart. He's been telling me all things about the history of the this area, and so we're trying to learn as much as we can in the few days.
Yeah. Does your wife usually travel with you on your tours?
Not every time, depending on the particular situation. She's also an English teacher. If she's in the middle of a period of working, she can't. Like in February, I was playing in Cologne, she couldn't come there.
Yeah.
But this trip, I it was very special for me, and especially that the name of the city is my last name.
Right,
blows my head away.
Is that a complete coincidence?
It's then? Completely. Some people think that there are no coincidences in life, but.
Right.
I don't know, they promised me they were going to give me a whole block of the city. I'm still waiting, but seriously, it is a coincidence.
Yeah, but do you know anything about where your name comes from?
I know where the name of the city comes from, but my grandparents, the Freibergs, were actually born in what now is Ukraine.
Right.
My grandfather was born in a city in Ukraine called Novopoltavska, and he emigrated to Argentina early 1900s, maybe like 1910 more or less.
Right.
But I'm sure that generations before, I mean, eventually the people were from Germany. It's a German name.
Yeah.
Fiber is absolutely.
Yeah.
My wife's family is also from German roots.
Okay.
Yeah, Thiessen. Mm-hmm. Thiessen, I don't know how you pronounce it, from the north of Germany, her dad's side, and and her mother's name, Lenkul,
mm-hmm.
very German. And my grandmother was Gerber, which is also a German name.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And from the side of my mother, my grandparents were Polish.
Right.
From Lodz near Odessa, yeah, and near Warsaw.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, definitely Eastern.
Eastern, yeah.
Eastern Europe.
But I think there are many musicians with those roots,
yes.
Similar roots.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you one last question, and that was I mentioned earlier on that you. One of your pieces was on a Grammy Award-winning album for Lenny.
Oh, okay.
And I just wanted to ask, which Lenny? I was thinking, is it Leonard Bernstein?
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see.
Or is it a different Lenny?
It's a different Lenny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have actually more than one composition in a Grammy-winning album, but that
okay,
in particular. No, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
But that one, that is dedicated to a great Brazilian singer, Leni Andrade.
Right.
She's like a Sarah Vaughan of Brazil. She's a great Brazilian jazz singer.
Yeah.
Which the first time I heard, she was like, wow, just like blew me away. And
yeah.
We met and we actually spent some days, a couple of times together. And so I wrote that song. That song, it's actually, I wrote it in the 80s, and it was in an album by Paquito Rivera called Manhattan Burn, which won an Edison Award in Holland, which is it's like a Grammy in Holland. And he re-recorded the same song, maybe like, I think it's 3 years ago or more or less. And that won a Grammy in the United States.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. So it's a lucky song,
lucky song.
For me. We actually played it the other day at the Club Men's. It's a good song for me.
Yeah. Well, I will have to listen to it. I listened to a few of your songs. One of them, what was it called, that really stuck in my head? Is it Milonga?
Oh, what did you say? Milonga del Bardo?
Milonga del Bardo, on YouTube. I found it on YouTube.
That's in my website and it's on YouTube, yeah. That Milonga is a type of rhythm and a dance typical from Argentina, from actually. Not just from Argentina, specifically from Buenos Aires,
right?
And it's part of the tango group of dances.
Yeah.
And within tango, you have different rhythms and styles.
Yeah.
So the milonga has a rhythm that has African influences.
Yeah.
And it's more syncopated than the traditional tango, which is more square.
Right.
So this we played Milonga del Bardo. Bardo is a slang word in Spanish, which is like means like mess, disorder.
Mess. Okay.
Yeah, like a mess. So yeah, we played that at the club the other day too.
Okay. Shame I missed that concert.
Yeah.
Okay. One very last question then for you, Daniel, is what. What would you say you're going to take back with you to New York? I mean, it could be a physical thing or just a feeling experience. What?
Well, I'm taking both physical and non-physical things.
Yeah.
I'm buying every little thing that says Freiburg that I can find or Freiburger.
Yeah.
Little cups and little signs because I'm gonna hang them in my studio. But yeah. Seriously, the great 10 days for us. Musically was fantastic. We had a great time. The conductor was so good. Great working with Maestro Brunés of the Mito Sassicia Orchestra. And everybody in the orchestra was not only great professional, but they seemed to like the music a lot, and they were very complimentary and very, very friendly. I made new friends.
Yeah.
We went to the bar afterwards, the concert until late, and I love the way the camaraderie that they have in the orchestra. They're like they're in college together and hanging out. Fantastic. So we got a we've taken a lot of new friends with us, and unforgettable moments of 10 days. And I'm very high from this experience. It's gonna take me a few days to land back into normal feelings, but I'm still very excited, and I hope we do more stuff. They are very happy then, and they're open to do more projects together. So I cannot say right now, but we have a couple of ideas.
Will we be seeing you back here again?
I hope so. I can come back very soon.
Okay, great. That would be great. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for talking to us, and wish you all the best of you and your wife and your family. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in Europe and have a good journey home.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.